Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm not sure if we have any recourse, but I think this council should ask the question and get an official answer from the Attorney General, I believe, and the Florida Commission on Ethics. And I think that's the least we can do. It's always something, unfortunately, and it's an embarrassment here. Whether you agree with it, Mike, it's my opinion.
You're entitled to your opinion.
But and the facts.
To use one of your favorite phrases, this is nothing but a personal attack.
Well, what do you call her writing that against the attorney? That's okay, though, right?
Anybody's entitled. Well, I won't go into some detail what's been done against me, but... I'll just leave it at that.
So the voices you heard there, Jeff Snow, city councilman in Milton, and then Mike Cusack, city councilman in Milton. And it's that last little bit that I wanted you to notice. This was in the conversation about Heather Lindsay and her writing a bar complaint against Alex Andrade, and then him bringing that up to the council, and then them talking about, you know, all the different things that she has done, and can they bring complaints about her or questions about her conduct before, for example, the attorney general or the bar or the ethics commission or whatnot. And then, you know, Mike Cusack saying, well, I don't even want to say what's been done against me. Well, now we know what's been done against him. Romy White, who is the publisher of the South Santa Rosa News, filed an ethics complaint against him, alleging that he broke state law in three different ways, saying that, he used his position to benefit himself or somebody else in the conversation about Scott Collins. That's how this is all related. That he used his position to obtain a disproportionate benefit for himself. Or that he used or disclosed information not available to the general public to benefit himself or another. And now we have the report on that. We have the ethics. The Ethics Commission has not made a final decision yet. They have to actually ratify the recommendation and the preliminary investigation. But because he has agreed to basically what they have said, it would seem like this would sail through the Ethics Commission. The Commission on Ethics said they have probable cause on 1 and 3 and not 2. He denies 1 and 2, admits to 3, and in exchange, they agreed to dismiss 1 and 2 and just go with 3 and a $1,500 fine. That would say that he used or disclosed information not available to the general public to benefit Scott Collins, okay? And the writing of the investigator here, there's a lot of sort of TikTok back and forth that you don't necessarily need to understand. But the short takeaway here is that Mike Cusack thought that Alex Andrade and other people were involved in some kind of effort to mess up the contract negotiations with Scott Collins. And he also thought that he had been given the power to negotiate with Scott Collins, both of which are false. So, certainly the second one is false. He was the liaison from the council to kind of watch the proceedings. And Alex kept him involved and kept him, informed. And he was not happy with that. And he actually had the city clerk write a memo to all the city council members that Alex was not doing his job properly, not including him in all the conversations. When there had only been one, and he was, including him in all the information and talking with him, he was overstepping his bounds with Alex, and I don't know. There's a lot of backstory, okay? The short version, though, is that at one point, he actually writes an email, or is it text? I forget now. A text to Scott Collins when they're on the day of that Alex is going to send him the contract. And he says, "Good morning, Scott. You'll see a proposal via email sometime today. Myself and others here in Milton want to pay you a minimum of what you're worth. Andrade has zero authority on hiring. In the event of a backdoor play, I will have the support to squash it. All good." Meaning, I'm in charge. He's going to lowball offer you. Don't listen to it. Well, and then Alex sends him the contract and he agrees to it and it's all fine. So the problem here is, first of all, Mike did not disclose his emails and texts. Well, texts primarily. Did not disclose his texts. And we knew there were texts he had still not disclosed. And in fact, in the report, it says he still hasn't turned them over to the city. That's a sunshine violation. That has not been disposed of yet. I don't know if the state attorney's even looking into that anymore or not. But the other part is what they say he did in this negotiation. And I'm just reading to you from the report. Regarding the salary disclosure, where he disclosed to Scott Collins the salary that was going to be offered. Regarding the salary disclosure, the facts presented reflect that Mike Cusack not only attempted to sabotage a negotiation process that he was only to collaborate with city attorney Andrade on by encouraging a city employee applicant to not accept a lowball offer, but he also disclosed proposed salary information to Collins that was to remain confidential. These disclosures could have benefited Collins in his contract negotiations. There is sufficient evidence of a violation. Regarding Cusack not being responsive to the public records request, there is insufficient evidence to reflect that Cusack's inaction was done to secure a benefit for himself and or another. Therefore, based on the evidence before the commission, I recommend that the commission find probable cause to believe that Cusack violated Section 112.3136 of Florida statutes. They run through the same analysis later on with the other part, the third part, that's one and then three. And then eventually they are recommending that they just do the violation of three with the $1,500 fine. The significance of this. There's been this ongoing war of who was right and who was at fault over the stuff with Scott Collins and who was working for the city and who was undermining the city and who was causing problems and who was doing what was right. And on all of those questions, this vindicates Andrade and it condemns Mike Cusack. That's the takeaway. Cusack is the one who screwed it up. Cusack is the one who tried to do things that were inappropriate under, according to the Ethics Commission, and he's going to have to pay a fine of $1,500, assuming that they affirm this decision. That's the short takeaway of a very long, dramatic story. Now, will he admit responsibility? Will Mayor Heather Lindsay, will they recognize that this is what happened? I don't know. But that's what the Ethics Commission is going to find. Is that the end of the drama? Oh, come on, please. It's Milton. It's never the end of the drama. Oh, man. So crazy. 717 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, by the way, they say several times in there that he did not turn over the records, that he still has not turned over the records. In fact, it's amazing that, you know, some of the records we'd never seen before showed up in this investigation. So those are all sunshine issues. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right, if you're in Milton this morning on I-10 headed west, right at the Blackwater River Bridge, we have a left lane closed there due to some road work. That's going to cause some quite a bit of slowdown this morning on I-10 west. Also, Highway 98 eastbound, we're really starting to see some very slow traffic starting west of Highway 87, and it's going to be kind of spotty issues all the way up to Windhaven Beach this morning. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. Highway 29 is good from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox are looking good. No delays on Burgess or Olive. And Lillian Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you're 64 turning 65 or you're retiring anytime soon, you're going to switch over onto Medicare. And that can kind of seem like a big deal because you've done insurance one way your whole life. But it's not that big of a deal. And you're going to have questions. Supplement, Advantage, Medicaid, what does that mean? What about prescription drugs? All of that. Hey, I have a good friend. I've known her as long as we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one part that she does. Ricky Stewart Insurance. Just give her a call. You'll sit down with her. You'll talk about it, and she will walk you through the process. It's really very easy, but it can seem kind of scary because it's new. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance.
PenAir Credit Union's new high-yield checking account helps members elevate their financial journey when they need it most. Earn 4% APY simply by enrolling in e-statements and making a deposit of $250 or more once a month. It's that simple. Get started online by visiting penair.org or visit one of our 12 convenient locations in Northwest Florida and South Alabama. It's okay to think big. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 4% annual percentage yield with e-statement and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more. For details, go to penair.org/checking.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Here's a question for Christians. What year was it that you were saved? I'm asking, when were you converted to Christ? And I'm not asking, when were you baptized or when did you receive the Lord's Supper? I'm not asking about religious works that you have done, but I'm asking you, when did you receive the work that Christ has done for you? When was it that you were convicted about your sin? When was it that you called on Christ to save you from the consequences of your sin? When did you seek God's forgiveness? For me, it was June of 1988. When was it for you? If you have never received Christ's forgiveness, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Gulf Coast VA will host a free PACT Act enrollment benefits event Saturday morning beginning at 8 at the Pensacola VA Clinic. State and local political representatives and vet-owned businesses will be there. The United Way is celebrating 100 years. Join them for their Glitz and Gallop Kentucky Derby Gala Saturday at PSC. See UWWF.org for more information. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Maybe you'd like some wine with your nose. Cheese.
Wine. We'll be fine.
A set of photos from inside an Escambia County classroom is circulating on social media and has been. It's raising some questions about an English teacher's curriculum. Now, the pictures were taken in an English class at Booker T. Washington High School last fall. And they show the N-word written several times on a dry erase board, part of a lesson on how the word has been used and changed over the years. Well, students tell us they were the first to file complaints with the school's administration. And today, a member of the community filed a formal complaint with the school district.
We should not be using derogatory terms as a teaching tool. That's unacceptable. It is not something just happening, just gonna go away. It made an impact on the children in that classroom.
That, of course, the voice of Ellison Bennett, who is a longtime civil rights activist and advocate here in Escambia County, and he's a friend, and I've had him on the rap many times, and he's actually on the line with us. Ellison, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know your perspective on this story. I want to just, I talked about this a lot last hour, but I want to give you this, the quick version of my take on this is, I can see how a lesson like this would be offensive and inappropriate, but I can also see how a lesson like this, especially if it were expanded to include other slurs, the history of how they're used, the way they impact the people that they target. If kids learn about the history of profanity, fighting words, racial slurs of all sorts, it would really be an interesting opportunity for them to gain perspective and maybe learn enough to change their own behavior, because these are words that all these kids know and many of these kids use. I can see how this could be a really, really good conversation to have in a classroom.
Well, I asked the school district, do teachers receive sensitivity training? And the answer was no. So my concern is the children that was in that setting, they spoke out how they felt uncomfortable with the words that was on the blackboard.
So to me, discomfort doesn't necessarily mean that the lesson is bad. Discomfort could be that they're thinking about and processing and learning about something that's powerful and dangerous and figuring out the right way to think about it. That's you know, I can understand how students might not like it, but I can also see how students could find it valuable and think that it's useful even if it makes them uncomfortable. Again, depending on how it's done, I think how it's done is a big deal.
And you know, and I see your point of view, but we know that the words that was on that blackboard have always been used in a derogatory term in reference to black people. And I think if the school district would have some type of sensitivity training for teachers, I agree with you. This could be a learning time for everybody.
Now, see, that's the thing. See, what I was envisioning is almost, and I can see the basic problem, obviously, in having a white English teacher teaching the N-word, okay? But I was even envisioning, have black speakers come in and explain what that word has meant to them when used about them, what has meant to them when used by other people who are black. Similar words used for Jews or for gay people or for Italian Americans or, all different. Like, it seems to me like students would have the opportunity to really better understand if they could learn the history and how words become problematic and stop being problematic and some swears come and go. Just, it seems to me like a great opportunity to teach into an uncomfortable space if you did it right. And that, I think you and I probably agree that if it were done right, it could be incredibly useful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know the teacher, never met her, but I know that there are a lot of situations happen in the school district, and children handle it in different ways, where if someone left that classroom and used the N-word toward a black student, there could have been an altercation.
Right. And my hope would be that you could teach that word in such a way that people who might use it would not use it inappropriately. But even questions, the most common question that comes up in this context is, why is it okay for white people why is it not okay for white people but okay for black people? That's a conversation a teacher could actually start to answer, because you could talk about power and racism and, why are there these words against racial minorities and not against racial majorities? And, how does all of that work? I think you and I probably agree that done right, it could be very useful. Done wrong, it can be very, very bad.
I agree.
Awesome. Hey, Allison, anything I failed to ask or bring up that you want to, mention? I just always want to give you the last word on something like this, because I appreciate and value you so much. But anything else you want to say about the subject? I'm so glad we had a chance to talk this morning.
And I am too. I just hope that teachers understand what they are attempting to teach our children has an impact on them going forward.
Absolutely. Allison Bennett, thank you always for calling in the show, for being such a good friend of the station, and for your perspective on things, and historically, all of your work on civil rights, man. I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. All right, Jake's got traffic. We're a little bit late to it. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Jake.
That's fine. All right, so this traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. On I-10 westbound coming out of Milton this morning, right at the foot of the Blackwater Bridge, we have a lane closure in the left lane due to some road work. That's going to slow some things down there. Highway 98 eastbound, starting west of Highway 87, stretching all the way up into Windhaven Beach. We're seeing our normal morning slowdowns there. Also, Highway 98 westbound getting into Tiger Point, leading up to that light at Avalon Boulevard. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
I'm so glad Ellison called in. Wasn't that such a great example of if you just talk to people?
Yeah.
You can find common ground and, realize that a story is a little bit more interesting and nuanced and complicated and wonderful than sometimes I just love what I get to do. It's fabulous. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
At least three people have died and several were injured after storms and tornadoes hit the Ohio Valley this week. Two people were killed apparently by falling trees Wednesday in Pennsylvania. Another person killed in Kentucky in a car crash blamed on storms. And 10 were injured in Indiana. The Southwest Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing Wednesday. Two people were hurt there because of severe turbulence. The flight was headed from New Orleans to Orlando when it ran into turbulence over the Gulf of Mexico and was diverted to Tampa. And the first person in the world to receive a pig kidney transplant is now heading home after what they're calling a successful surgery. Rick Slayman received the pig kidney in late March. He was living with end-stage kidney disease and type 2 diabetes, as well as hypertension, and had already had a human kidney transplant in 2018 that I guess didn't work.
Rich Slayman is the one that received
Slayman.
Rick Slayman. Okay. All right. Sometimes things are, they're humorous to me, maybe. I don't know. David, thanks so much for the update. He's got local news coming up next, right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Vice President Harris, no stranger to the Tar Heel State today. She stops in the battleground state of North Carolina for the fourth time this year. It's also where her boss is struggling for support from that new survey from the Wall Street Journal. The VP will talk about climate action and her role in addressing the climate crisis. A nor'easter carrying a lot of rain and snow.
We're going to see interior northeast snow and New England snow through Saturday. Even through Sunday, some of the snowfall totals, yep, 12 to 18, 18 to 24. The jackpot, as we say, will be in Maine.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean. Speaking of jackpots, no winner in last night's Powerball. The jackpot swells to an estimated $1.23 billion for Saturday night's drawing. It's the eighth largest in U.S. history. 39 consecutive drawings without a jackpot winner. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now. Little bit chilly this morning, but really nice morning out there. It's 49 degrees and sunny in Pensacola. And residents that live near NAS Pensacola's West Gate say traffic on Blue Angel practice days starting to make it difficult for them to get in and out of their homes.
Now on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's very hard to get out of the neighborhood or get in. It does cause an issue for us to get to appointments, go to the grocery store, drop kids off for school, really just anything that affects from probably, about 8 o'clock till maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah.
And that's a resident that talked with Channel 3, and she says the only way she can get in or out sometimes is by driving on the shoulder of the road, making her own lane. The Blue Angels typically practice on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. County Commissioner Mike Kohler tells Channel 3 that they've got a meeting scheduled next week between the county, the sheriff's office, Congressman Matt Gaetz's office, and FDOT, and he's hoping they can work out a plan that will address all of those traffic issues. Well, the legal battle over text messages that Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Burgosh says were stolen will continue with a hearing in June. According to Studio 850, a hearing is scheduled for June 10th for an Okaloosa County judge to consider a motion to dismiss that lawsuit and recover attorney fees. This comes after the judge denied a writ of replevin from Escambia County, essentially asking that the judge order the text messages returned by the defendants. And several students, now a local activist, filing complaints after a teacher reportedly used the N-word as a type of teaching aid last fall. Photos showing that teacher next to a whiteboard with multiple spellings of the word have emerged. One student talking with Channel 3.
I remember I was sitting in my fourth period when the photos came out, and we were all shocked. I had never heard of her. I didn't know who she was, but to see that picture is really shocking. And the rumor spread that she got fired. So we were all fully under the impression that she was no longer at our school.
The district says the teacher was moved to another class. Local activist Ellison Bennett had filed a formal complaint with the district regarding that incident. Senator Marco Rubio says it's time we hold big tech accountable. He wrote yesterday on the website dailycaller.com that he wants to reform Section 230 and eliminate legal protections for social media companies. Rubio says current law allows market dominant tech firms to engage in censorship and use algorithms to manipulate their users, especially, he says, kids. Rubio proposing a bill now called the Discourse Act. It would allow Americans to sue tech firms for provable harm. He says the sooner it becomes law, the sooner we can restore free speech and protect our kids. And some Florida lawmakers now trying to stop what they're calling a costly change for residents in Southwest Florida. Senators Rick Scott, Marco Rubio, and two other congressmen sent a letter to FEMA yesterday. They want the agency to reverse a decision to eliminate 25% discounts for flood insurance policyholders in Lee County. That decision apparently set to take effect on October 1st. The lawmakers say it's an unforeseen challenge for residents there who are still recovering after Hurricane Ian. 7:35 at News Radio, and Jake's got our traffic on the fives.
Okay, not seeing any major issues around our roadways this morning. We are going to see a couple slowdowns, though, on I-10 westbound at the Blackwater River Bridge coming out of Milton. The left lane is going to be closed today due to some road work. That is going to slow some things down there this morning. Highway 98 eastbound, starting right in Navarre, west of Highway 87, stretching all the way in spots, all the way up through Wind Haven Beach. Also, Highway 98 westbound, getting into Tiger Point. Of course, seeing our normal morning slowdown there, backing up at that light at Avalon Boulevard. Keep in mind, on West Spencer Field Road this week, they're going to be taking out the speed tables there, and eventually they will be working on a light at the intersection of West and North Spencer Field. Other than that, we're looking great around town. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today, starting off on the cooler side in the 40s, warming up into the 70s by the afternoon. Overnight tonight, back in around 47 degrees. For Friday, plenty of sunshine, high near 73 degrees. Friday night temperatures dropping near 48. We're going to keep that nice sunny weather around as we go into Saturday with a high near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 49 degrees in Pensacola, 48 in Gulf Breeze, and 47 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Levi Strauss, which has long relied on wholesalers like Macy's and Kohl's to drive its business, is now doing nearly half of its sales through its own website and stores. In the 3 months ending on February 25th, direct-to-consumer sales made up a record of 48%, which is up from 42% in the year-ago period. Levi's also beat Wall Street's earnings and revenue estimates and raised its full-year guidance. Shares rose as much as 10% in extended trading. Apple is exploring the development of personal home robots after ditching its electric vehicle project. Engineers have been looking into a robot that can follow users around their homes, as well as tabletop devices that uses robotics to adjust a display screen. Apple shut down its electric vehicle project in February. Futures are moderately higher after 3 days of losses at the Dow Industrials. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials dropped 43. That's Your Money Now.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos, a better, easier way to get term life insurance, all online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, as he does every Thursday, Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, and I enjoyed your conversation with Mr. Bennett this morning. He's always a pleasure to speak with.
He's such a dear man. I mean, he really is, and always, you know, just passionate, informed, willing, good. I love him so much, and I know you've had a lot of interactions with him over the years, and anyway. You guys had a pedestrian that got struck, last week on 12th by Airport?
Yeah, it was last Thursday evening on 12th Avenue near Airport. And we had Airport or 12th Avenue shut down for a couple of hours because this crash was so serious. A pedestrian, I believe he was 80 years old, an 80-year-old male, was struck by a vehicle and was in critical condition the last I knew. So, there's the crosswalk situation comes into play, and it was dark, and it was just a horrible situation. We just want people to please be careful and please use those crosswalks because we just have way too many of these.
Crosswalk by the light or not at the light? Because I don't think of there being crosswalks not at the lights on that road, but you tell me.
Yeah, there wasn't. There was no crosswalk in that area.
Oh, okay. So he was crossing where there was not a crosswalk. Okay.
Yeah, a driver's just naturally not going to expect someone to come out into traffic on foot in that area. You do at crosswalks, but just not on 12th Avenue, especially in that area.
And I mean, I don't know what did he, is he okay? Did he get, I don't know, what happened to him? Is he?
I don't have an update on his condition.
Okay.
I just know that the night that it happened, it was the injuries were extremely serious.
Okay. And the driver stopped, I assume. Right, to call it in, and
yes,
which is exactly what the law requires. Okay, yeah, wow, scary stuff for everybody. You also had an armed robbery at the Dollar General and Garden.
Yeah, and one in the 1400 block of West Garden Street. That was Monday evening, where an individual displayed a handgun and took a small amount of cash. So we're still looking for that individual, and if anybody has any information, to please contact the Pensacola Police Department or Crime Stoppers if you want to remain anonymous.
Very good. Can we go back just a second to the crosswalk and the pedestrian? Because it's important for people to know what the law is. You know, for example, if somebody's in the crosswalk, you have to stop for them. That's true if it's, Davis Highway, because there are some crosswalk areas in Davis Highway. That's true whether it's on, downtown on Main Street or anywhere else. But there's always the prudence question, too, as a pedestrian. The rule I always teach my boys is it's always better to be alive than to be right. That's true whether you're driving or walking or anything else, right?
Yeah, well, the crosswalk still has to be, a green or the white indication that's on the sign for the person to go across. You can't just go up to a crosswalk and cross against traffic or cross against the light.
Right.
So, even though you're in a crosswalk, you still have to go by the rules. And Andrew, I was just updated by Captain Goss that the individual that was hit did pass away from his injury.
It's so awful. And I feel awful for him, for his family. I feel awful for the driver, in this situation. And of course, we know that Pensacola is the kind of place where we have an awful lot of jaywalking, in all different kinds of situations. And jaywalking per se is not illegal in the state of Florida. Jaywalking where you interfere with traffic is illegal in the state of Florida. But again, as drivers, you always want to put life first, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's a dangerous thing to do, and people are distracted by a lot of things, and the biggest reason for crashes in not only the state of Florida but nationwide is distracted driving, whether it be the radio, the cell phone, people inside the vehicle. There's all kinds of reasons for it, but distracted driving and speeding are the two biggest reasons.
It's scary stuff, because especially at night, it's hard to see people. They might not be wearing bright clothing. They're in the middle of a street where you don't expect to see them. I mean, it's terrifying. It really is. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week?
Well, and it kind of segues from what we were just talking about traffic crashes. And these are about minor traffic crashes. The first part of this that in the state of Florida, you are only required to report this if the damage is $500 or more. And, it's easy with these cars now for damage. It could be just a small dent in a bumper to be $500. So if there's any doubt whether you've reached that mark or not, go ahead and call law enforcement and let us come out there, and we can let you know then if a report needs to be done or just a simple exchange of driver information. So, or if the person looks like there may be an issue that they're kind of hesitant, they don't want to tell you who they are or things like that, certainly contact law enforcement.
It is always easier to have a police report and not need it than to need a police report and not have it, right?
Yeah, we've had that happen a bunch. People call in and say, well, we exchanged information. We were going to sell this amongst ourselves, and now I can't get a hold of this person, so I need a police report, and it doesn't work that way. So go ahead and contact law enforcement and let us come out, and we'll make that determination. You know, if it's a minor accident, property damage only on a parking lot, then there's going to be just a driver exchange done, but you still have an officer there that can see license, you know, record license plate numbers, make sure you have the pertinent information that you need to file that claim with your insurance company. And the other point that I wanted to bring up was why we don't release information like this gentleman that we were just talking about is you know, we don't release information on drivers involved or people involved in car crashes anymore. Because within the first 60 days of that crash, that is not public information.
Oh.
So after 60 days, it is public information after 60 days. Now, before 60 days, people can get that report, but you have to have an interest in the crash. You were the driver, you were a passenger, maybe you're a parent of a teenager that was involved in it, maybe you're a property owner of property that was damaged. Those people can get that traffic crash report within the first 60 days.
Interesting. So it's not a public record until 60 days for the general public unless you're an interested party. And otherwise, all you're going to get is the generic information, age, gender, residence, and then a description of the incident. I know FHP always puts those out, but otherwise you're not going to get that information unless you're entitled to it under the exemption there for if you're an interested party. Is that basically right?
That is exactly right. And after 60 days, it's open to the public.
Very good. Oh, and just one quick follow-up, because I know you implied this, but I want to make sure to settle the point. The driver that struck the man, the pedestrian, I assume no charges against the driver. Is that right?
Not that I'm aware of, no, sir.
Okay. All right, very good. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, information, helping us understand the law. That's always my goal with these segments is that you understand the law better, know what's going on in our community, and you do such a good job of presenting it. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
My pleasure.
747 on News Radio 92.3. Jake has got our traffic for us. Jake?
Okay, we're starting to see some slowdowns around our roadways this morning. If you're in Milton on I-10 westbound, right as you get to the foot of the Blackwater River Bridge, we're going to have the left lane closed there due to some road work. That's going to really slow some things down there headed west. Also, Highway 98 eastbound, starting around Highway 87 in Navarre, stretching all the way up to the Parish Boulevard McDonald's as you get out of Windhaven Beach. That's going to be some major slowdown there this morning. Looks like I-10 eastbound, getting by Pine Forest, is starting to slow down this morning. And we've got on the FHP map, I'm seeing a bunch of just little fender benders around the area, but nothing blocking traffic, nothing causing any major slowdowns. But just be aware this morning, there's going to be a little bit of slowdown here and there, but nothing major slowing you down this morning. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. 437-1620, call or text. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got an import, you've got a BMW, a Porsche, a Mercedes, an Audi, a Genesis, a Jaguar, a Lexus, and you got to take it for service because, of course, you know, cars need service. You might think you got to go to the dealership. You don't. I mean, by law, you don't have to go to the dealership. Like, there's a law for decades that's on the books that says you do not have to take cars to the dealership. You can get them serviced lots of places. Also, if you go to the dealership, what is that? Time, maybe, if it's far away. Gas, if it's far away, which is money. And also, just the price might be higher, right? Go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. Very convenient, very easy. You can make an appointment. You can stop in. You can check them out online at carclinicservice.com and see all of their kind of what they do and how they do it and what they think about it. It's kind of like a healthcare clinic for your car, so they can see you to prevent the big problems or to spot the problem before it's big and solve it when it's a little bit smaller, when that's possible. Of course, they also work on domestics, diesel engines, gas engines, whatever the case may be. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
always stay sharp, alert, and ready for anything. Let the exceptional team at Jim's Firearms help you find the everyday carry knife that fits your life. They have the best brands and the largest selection of high-quality knives to choose from with lifetime warranties. Get yourself a multi-purpose knife to use for protection, hunting, fishing, or for everyday use. Keys, wallet, phone, and knife, never leave home without it. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road at the back gate of NAS, or shop them online at jimsfirearms.net.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test, DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their 7 locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Huh. Plan A taught you the 5-point palm exploding heart technique.
Of course he did.
Good morning, 7:52 here on News Radio 92.3. A little chilly today, low 50s. It's sweater weather again in April. What's the season? I don't know. It's Pensacola. This is how it goes. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
President Biden will be talking with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today about the war in Gaza. The phone call comes just days after 7 humanitarian aid workers were killed by an Israeli attack. Biden said he was outraged by that incident. He wants Israel to do more to protect civilians. NASA has awarded contracts to 3 private U.S. companies to create lunar rovers for the upcoming moon mission. The space agency said Intuitive Machines of Texas, Lunar Outpost of Colorado, and Venturi Astrolab of California have been chosen to create rover designs. One of those companies will have to create a rover to go up in the Artemis 5 mission, which is scheduled for 2029. And it looks like the new Fantastic Four movie has found its Silver Surfer.
If you want to stop me, you're going to have to kill me!
The Hollywood Reporter says Ozark star Julia Garner will play the superhero in the upcoming Marvel movie. Fantastic Four will be directed by Matt Shakman of WandaVision and is set for release in July of 2025. Garner will also be starring in the new Wolfman reboot for Universal, which is set to come out next January. I'm Michael Kastner.
That got intense quicker than I thought it was going to.
Did you say Julia Garner is going to be the Silver Surfer?
That's what this is saying.
So the Silver Surfer is a chick now.
It seems non-binary surfer.
Seems odd.
Person.
Okay. All right. Anything goes. I mean, yeah. She's a fabulous actress, but...
Julia Garner.
So the Silver Surfer is a woman now. Okay.
Apparently, right. Yeah.
Sure, why not? These days, anything goes. Rainbow Surfer, why not? Why Silver Surfer? I mean, you know, why so?
Silver is kind of drab, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Rainbow
What's
Surfer
exciting
makes a lot
about
more
that?
Sense, right?
Absolutely.
All right, David, thanks for the update. Oh my God. Anyway, back to things that are going on. Yesterday was a big news day. Oh, my God. I read so many legal documents yesterday. My eyes were starting to glaze over from reading all this stuff. Yes, I read all the documents connected to the Pam Childers case and events against Escambia County. Remember, it's such a saga to explain. The short version is this. County commissioners can opt, you know, they can participate in the Florida retirement system. And that costs 58% of their paycheck to the county. Like, you know, they make whatever they make. I think it's like 90 grand. Anyway, and then 58% of that goes to FRS. Only about 13% of that actually goes to them. The rest goes to the system. Okay? Then there was also a local plan, the ICMA or the 401A or various things it's referred to. And this would allow commissioners to still only cost the county 58% of their annual salary, except it goes into their own personal account, meaning they benefit somewhere on the order of 45% of their salary more personally per year through that plan. Well, Robert Bender opted into that plan. He didn't think it was that high. He knew it was better than the other plan, but he didn't know it was that high when he opted in. Then he found out it was higher, and he's like, is that right? And they said, yeah. Then 2 years later, or a year later, when the financial disclosures came out, Stephen Barry and Lumen May, particularly Stephen Barry, saw how much money Robert Bender had in his retirement account and thought, what the? How are we not getting this deal? We want this deal. Why didn't we have this deal for the 8 years that we were in office? So he wanted to opt in, and they did later on opt into that when they could at re-election. But then he went to the Ethics Commission in Tallahassee and said, I was misled on my, you know, hire, basically, when I became a county commissioner. And I would have chosen this plan, but I didn't figure out this system. I didn't understand it, and nobody explained it to me. And so I picked the wrong system. I would like to be back paid $250,000 for the difference, please. And the Commission on Ethics said, you can vote on your own payment in that regard. That's legal. Go ahead. You can do that. So he came back to Escambia County, and they brought up to vote on it. And the citizens and Commissioner Underhill said, the what you're going to do? You're going to vote yourself $250,000 in back pay for a decision you made wrong? No. And they didn't actually have the vote on it. So then Pam Childers says, this plan's weird. This plan's even legal. I'm going to not pay you the full amount. I'm going to pay you only the lower amount that would be paid into your account if you're an FRS. And then eventually she said, you know what? Actually, I don't think I'm going to pay this at all because this looks illegal to me because it looks like you guys are participating in a plan that raises your pay rate and you cannot raise your pay rate. So I'm not paying this at all. Well, they sued and we had a long legal battle. And now the court has come back and said, the county's wrong. Pam Childers is right. This is illegal. It is an increase in compensation. The plan is no good for elected officials. You cannot have it. You lose, sir. Good day. That's my short translation of what the court said. We'll come back to this in a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right. We've got some major slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound, starting around Highway 87, stretching all the way up to the Parish Boulevard McDonald's out of Windhaven Beach. Also got reports here on the traffic tip line that the front gate is backed up at NAS. And if you're coming out of Milton this morning on I-10 westbound, right at the foot of the Blackwater River Bridge, we've got the left lane closed due to some road work this week. Keep in mind on West Spencerfield, they're taking out the speed bumps, and that might cause a little bit of slowdown getting through there. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let me know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. So this was a huge win for Pam Childers yesterday. It's an unpleasant scenario all around because, you know, taxpayers are losing legal resources in the fight over this. We're losing money and lawyers being paid to litigate this. And, you know, the taxpayers are losing because the two county commissioners, well, three, one former, but really the two county commissioners, Stephen Barry and Lumen May, are so eager to get, you know, the more money. And it's weird to be excited about them losing because they're my county commissioners, but they're totally in the wrong on this. Anyway, the court said so. And in fact, if like the clerk's lawyers had written this opinion, they probably couldn't have written it better because the court, the judge wrote it and said, as the clerk asserted during its written closing argument, if local commissioners are able to vote themselves increases in compensation beyond that set by general law, the purpose of the constitutional restriction would be negated by allowing public officials to indirectly do what they are not allowed to do directly. In sum, the court finds that the county's contributions local plan on behalf of county commissioners constitute unlawful compensation. This is voting yourself a pay raise, and you are not allowed to do that under the Constitution of the state of Florida. So, no. And now, of course, what they do and whether they try to appeal. Mike Kohler says he won't vote for an appeal. I think Jeff Bergosh might not vote for an appeal either, and that would lock it 2-2 for no appeal.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.